Good morning, family. Good to see you guys. So glad that you are here. If you got your Bibles, let's open up Matthew chapter 7. We're going to go verses 7 through 11 as we continue on our series Inside Out. I'd like to ask for some prayer. I'm not feeling too good, and so I just ask for you to pray for me as I preach today. First service, I survived, whichever one you prefer, but looking forward to sharing with you this morning. As we talk about this passage of Scripture, talking about prayer specifically, there are two general feelings that come up when we talk about prayer. One is, as we talk about prayer, is that we all would feel like that we don't pray enough. When we read Scripture and it encourages us to pray, usually the feeling that comes up is conviction, that we don't pray enough, we don't pray like we should. Can I just hopefully free you up a little bit this morning? My job is, as a pastor, is preaching, people, and prayer. And of those three things, which do you feel like I feel like, I feel insecure about all of them, but which do you feel like is the most insecure I feel about? Well, it's prayer. And you would think as a pastor, that's your job, all right? The truth is, for us as believers, it's for all of us. And all of us feel somewhat inadequate when we talk about the amount of prayer, prayer life we do have. So if we can all be this morning, be all in the same boat, let's all admit as we talk about the subject of prayer is that this is something we all feel like we need to do more of. None of us would raise our hand and go, I'm praying just the right amount. All right? I'm good. I pray a lot. I feel like I'm good on prayer. I kind of check the box on prayer. All right? None of us feel that way. So this morning, as we talk about it, let's at least acknowledge it. The second thing is that there is a transcendental property about prayer, is that indeed it is a mystery. We are praying to a God we cannot see. We're communicating to a God we cannot see. And we're communicating in a way that feels different than the way we communicate in our daily life. That we perhaps cannot have the same sort of conversations we have with someone else. And so it becomes difficult in our mind. In fact, the disciples felt like this because they asked Jesus, teach us to pray. Their view was that this was a conversation that was much different than the other conversations they have, which is true, but still feeling an inadequate understanding of what prayer is. And so this morning, we do want to talk about that. We want to talk about this process of praying as believers. And to me, when I get prepared for a message and go through text and all this stuff, God has an incredible sense of humor in the way that he teaches me stuff. I've been here over 6.5 years. This right here has been in our office for 6.5 years. I did not notice this until yesterday. I'm serious. I'm walking through the office with my kids, and I look in the garage, that little office area right over here, and the first time I think I have ever seen this was yesterday. Y'all, it has been in the office the entire time that I've been here. If that doesn't scream what a metaphor prayer is in my life, here you go. Let's all make fun of Cody. Okay, I'm going to leave this up here in case y'all need to feel convicted. All right, right there. But seriously, that's the concept we often have times with prayer. So let's read. Let's let Jesus speak to us this morning about prayer. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 13. Stand with me, if you will. Let me read this together as we read God's word. Encourage you to follow along. 7 through 11, excuse me. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asked for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement we face today in communicating with you, and I pray that we would understand it, we would rejoice in it, be humbled by it, and be encouraged to do it. My prayer is for my voice, God, that you would use it indeed. Father, that I would say the things that you want to be said, and I would not say the things that you do not want to be said. And would you get the glory this morning? All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Before we talk about prayer and what it is, perhaps it's better to really start with what prayer is not. Let's talk about what prayer is not. And really, to help you out here, there's three M's I want to talk about what prayer is not. The first one is, prayer is not a method. Prayer is not a method. It is not a formula. Coming into prayer means that we don't take the good things that we do in a good attitude, and that equals an answered prayer. We don't try to formula out God's answer to our prayers. We don't work the system. So it's not a method to get what we want. The other thing is, it's not a menu. All right? We don't go to God with our order. We don't say, I want some of this, I want some of this, and I want some of this. And then make sure none of the other stuff that I don't want doesn't come to me. All right? I want my order to be right. I want the good things. I don't want the bad things. And I just make these requests to God as if God is our waiter and the servant to us. That's not prayer. Lastly, prayer is not magic. It's not wishful thinking in the general direction of God to kind of, God would, you know, I'm going to kind of put this vibe out. All right, good thoughts are going to go out and all of a sudden good things are going to happen to me. That's not prayer either. It's important that we actually, when we define prayer, honestly, it's better to go ahead and get all that junk out of the way to say that's not it. In the Westminster Catechism, there is a definition of prayer that I think really, it's way too much. I can't preach the whole thing, but I think it describes to us exactly what prayer is. And here's what, it kind of goes off of a question and then an answer. The question is, what is prayer? And here's the definition. Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for the things agreeable to his will in the name of Christ with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. We can sum up prayer this way. Is when we come to God with our requests through Christ. That's a big thing for us. That our requests are through Christ. Agreeable with his will. Acknowledging our sin and our need for him. And worshiping him with thanksgiving because of who he is and what he has done. That's prayer. It's coming to him humbly. Acknowledging our brokenness, knowing our need for him, giving him our requests in accordance to his will. Can I just tell you this morning that maybe some of y'all need to hear this, and it's the important idea and the beautiful picture that we have the ear of the creator of the universe. That you have the opportunity to communicate to the God who created everything that you see. You have that opportunity. I've shared it before, but I think it bears repeating. Tim Keller said this, the only person that can disturb a king at 2 a.m. for a glass of water is his child. And that is what you have. That is the access that you have. That you get to go to God at any moment and you have his ear. Y'all, would we be overwhelmed by that? Would that draw us to worship God because we have his ear because of what Christ has done? Man, what a beautiful thing that we get to do, that we get to participate in. Well, not only does Jesus call us to this prayer as we saw, but he refers to God as our Father. We see it even in what we call the Lord's Prayer. To this people that he's preaching to refer to God as their Father would be very difficult. Their relationship with God was completely dependent, as they were told, through the law. How good a job they did following the law was relationally how connected they were with God. So they never felt secure. They never had a foundation. They always felt like God was distant, that God was not approachable because of the system that was set up and the way that they were living. So for Jesus to tell them that God is their Father and refer to God as their Father in prayer would for many be so difficult and for many be offensive. Because how dare can I approach God as my Father? Another thing, as we talk about inside out, is this was Jesus taking this foreign idea of God being a father and turning it up and going, no, through me, you can know him as your father. This morning, I just want to look at two things. The first thing we see through this text is that it is important that we ask. It is important that we ask. Verse 7 and verse 8, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Ask, seek, and knock are three words describing prayer. They're not separate things. They're the same thing. They're talking about communication with God, seeking him, asking of him, and knocking. Here's what's cool about this passage. Here's what Jesus is saying. He's not saying ask and be done. He's actually saying keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking. By the imperative that he's giving here, it's persistent. It's saying, continue to do so. Keep asking, keep knocking, and keep seeking. The most often prayer that I give is that I ask, seek, and knock, and then stop. There are times that God calls me to pray, and I pray. And when I get done, all right, that's done. God, would you bless so-and-so? Amen. I'm done. The most convicting thing this week has been to acknowledge that when God calls us to pray, he's not calling us to pray once and be done. He's calling us to be persistent. That a prayer of faith is not one, not a prayer that's given one time and then just told, hey, just have faith, just pray once and go on. A prayer of faith is one that is relentless because faith says there is no one who can answer this prayer but God, and God told me to keep asking. There's a parallel passage with what we have this morning in Matthew 7, and that's found in Luke chapter 11. My encouragement to you today, sometime today, go back and read chapter 11. But we're going to take a couple verses from there and show how this parallels well. Verses 5 through 8 in Luke chapter 11 says, and he said to them, which of you has a friend who will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his... what word is that? Say it. That word right there, we're going to come back. That's the magic word, all right? He will rise and give him whatever he needs. That word right there, here's what it means. Persistence, boldness, shamelessness, brazen insistence. Neighbor comes to neighbor, says, I got somebody coming to the house. I've got no food. Can I get 3 loaves of bread? Neighbor says, dude, I'm asleep. We're in bed. The kids are asleep. Quit knocking. You're going to wake them up. And yet the neighbor continues to knock. Hey, dude, hey, I just need three loaves of bread. Some of y'all have neighbors like that, by the way. Don't go read the scripture to them, okay? It says the reason that the neighbor gets 3 loaves is not because the neighbor's being a good neighbor. The reason he does is because the neighbor wants him to quit knocking. That's really what it says. Because of his shameless knocking, he finally gets 3 loaves. Now listen, here's what's amazing. Jesus is telling us to be persistent. Be persistent. There is no better example of this than children. That may be the most amens I've gotten all year. That's it. We get that. You can walk through Target and you understand what persistence means. Can I just tell you this? I confessed it to my dad because my dad goes here to the 9 o'clock. When I was a child and I would ask persistently, and I finally got what I wanted. Can I just tell you, it was a hollow victory. It was a hollow victory. Because yeah, I wanted that, but But the truth is, the reason I asked is because I knew my mom and my dad could do that, could give me that, because I trusted them to do that. Can I just tell you the countless number of things that I find in Scripture remind me how much better a God that God is at a father than I am? Because when my kids do it to me, I just get tired and they wear me down. And sometimes I say yes. Sometimes I say no because of their persistence. But let me just tell you this. Here's what's amazing is what God is telling us in this passage and what we see in multiple scriptures is to be persistent, to be obnoxious, to pester him. Can I read you a quote that made me feel just incredible today, this week? It's Matthew Henry. Here's what he said. We prevail with men, or we win over men, by impudence, however you want to pronounce it, because they are displeased with it. They're irritated by it. But with God, because he is pleased with it. Can I tell you? Look at me. God is pleased with your obnoxiousness. He loves it. He loves you pestering him. He loves it. He loves it when you constantly ask, when you're persistent, when you're shameless. He loves it. Man, what an encouraging thing to know we have a God that doesn't get tired of our asking. Not only is he not getting tired, he just stands there with his arms open. Come on. Keep coming. Keep asking. I love it. Can I just tell you, persistent prayer is so important to us. I just want to give you some things that are important, why it's important that we continue to ask, even when it feels obnoxious or like we're pestering God. Just a couple of things. Persistent prayer declares this and teaches us, not only us in a watching world, that our hope is in Christ and in Christ alone. If we continue to pester him with our prayers, we're acknowledging that our access to him has come through Christ. When Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me, that's the acknowledgement that as we come and approach God with our prayer and persistently ask, that the only reason we have an audience with him is through Christ. Can I tell you that some of you have hit your knees begging God to move, but the truth is you have no access to him because you do not know Christ. And the fact that you were on your knees is God's way of calling you to himself and for you to acknowledge your need for Christ. I would lovingly tell you today that there's an adoption that happens, that when we go to God, repent of our sins, and believe in Christ and Christ alone, that he takes us and makes us, he takes us from being orphans into his children, and now that we have access to him as our Father. And the reason some of your prayers feel so hollow and shallow and empty is because the truth is that you're getting to your knees to seek God is God's way of saying, you don't know me, but you can. You can. I hear you praying, but listen, the truth is what the best thing that you need is not the answer to this prayer. The best thing that you need is me. And that doesn't come except for trusting in Christ. And listen, some of you have heard me say this for the first time today, and some of you heard me say it for thousands of times, but I'm begging you, repent and believe in Jesus. That is the best prayer you can pray. Believer, it means everything to us that we're in Christ to be able to pray to him. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. You're in Christ, you can ask. You can ask him. Persistence also allows our intimacy to grow with God. Our intimacy grows with him. prayer draws us close, there's a beautiful thing that happens in the life of the believer when it's scripture and prayer, scripture and prayer, scripture and prayer, even praying back scripture to God, going, yes, I acknowledge this, I believe this. Growing in your faith develops intimacy with God when you are persistent in your prayer. Martin Luther said, for this is also a good feature of prayer. If one habitually practices it and thus meditates upon the word that he has promised, that the heart becomes continually stronger and more firmly confides and finally obtains much more than otherwise. Is that the more we are persistent, the stronger our heart grows, the deeper we know him and love him. The other thing that persistent prayer does is shows us that our prayers will refine us. If the request that we are asking for is not for the glory of God, as we persistently pray, God will expose that in us. And he'll show us that what we're asking for is actually for our glory and not his. John 14, 13 says this, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. There's a beautiful thing that happens when God answers prayer. And the best thing of God answering prayer is not you getting what you want. The best thing that happens in God answering prayer is that God is glorified through Christ. That's why he answers your prayer. Let me just tell you, the moment that God answers the prayer that you have persistently prayed for is the moment you hit your knees and you thank God, and it is for his glory that he has done so. It is for him that he gets the credit. Can I just tell you, my middle daughter went through viral meningitis. And as difficult as it was to watch, I saw God heal her. But when people would ask about it, I wrongly touted the physicians. And what I should have been telling every single one of you and everybody that asked was, isn't our God good? Look at the way he healed her. Look at the way he used one procedure, and 2 days later, she's ice skating. It's probably not a good parenting moment, but I let her go anyway. But that's God's goodness. Answered prayers are for the glory of God and not our own. And so when persistent prayer shows us that if we're praying for our glory or for something we want, very quickly God will refine that out of us. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have towards him. If we seek, or if we ask anything according to what? His will. He hears us. I heard this week. What God wills, he will certainly make come to pass according to his terms. Maturity shifts our thinking from, will you answer this prayer, to give me faith to know that the answer will come in your time and in your way. That's the mark of a mature believer. God, would you be sovereign in this? Would you take control and would you do what you want? Would you do it in your time and in your way, which is far greater than anything I can ask of? That's the mark of pushing us to maturity in prayer. God, have your way. We ask for this, and we ask more importantly, God, have your way in it. Well, lastly, persistent prayer does this in us. It's that our view of the world is seen through the eyes of the giver and not the gifts. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He's blessed us in so many ways. But in his blessing, it always goes back to that first part. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is that we never elevate the gifts that we've been given over the giver. Can I tell you one of the most difficult things that's happened to your prayer life and my prayer life? Comfort and prosperity. That is toxic to our prayer lives if we're not careful. The fact that you and I can get comfortable and the fact that you and I have tasted prosperity. Oftentimes what that does is it makes us quit acknowledging our need for God. We think we can be dependent on the gifts instead of the giver. There's a beautiful prayer that's in Proverbs 30, chapter 6. And basically the prayer goes like this. Sorry, Proverbs chapter 9. Father, don't give me so much that I forget you. Do not give me so much that I forget you. Man, what a dangerous thing to pray. God, don't give me so many good things that I look to the gifts and I don't look to you. Persistent prayer does that in us. It keeps our focus on the one who gives and not the gift. Well, secondly, here's what we do. It's important to ask, but it's more important who we ask. Verses 9 through 11, for which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Stones look very similar to bread. Right? I mean, you can find a stone that, I mean, beautifully carved out, looks just like bread, but don't take a bite. Which one of you, as your son would ask for a fish, would give him a serpent? If you who are evil, can I just tell you, he's not just talking about those in the audience, he's talking about us. Those of us that are broken and sinful, disobedient to God, if those of us can understand what it's like to care for a child and to give them things that they need to survive, if that's us, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask? How much more will the best Father that we've ever known give us good things? 1 Peter 5:7 tells us that we can cast all of our anxieties on him because he cares for us. That when we know that he gives us good things, that he is a trustworthy Father, then we can take our cares to him and lay them at his feet. Because we trust that he's good. We trust that he cares about us. That y'all, the reason we go to him is because his character has proven that he loves us. Remember what we said, it's because of who he is and what he has done that we go to him. Mark 11, 24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it or are receiving, and it will be yours. The prayer of faith says, God, you're the only one that can answer this. And I'm resting my prayers on you and asking because of you. What's the best thing he can give us? Going back to that parallel passage, Luke 11, 13. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is not a contradiction. The truth is the best thing that God could ever give us, the best good thing God could ever give you is himself through the Holy Spirit. The fact that when you trust in Christ, you are sealed for eternity. His presence is inside of you to instruct you, to convict. When we struggle in praying, when we don't have the words to say, it just comes out like mumbled garbage, the Holy Spirit then intercedes for us to the Father. The best gift that you and I have is not the good things we see. The Holy Spirit is the best thing that we have. That's the culmination of the good things he's speaking of. The gift of the Spirit shows us that the best things that we have are a desire and not for knowledge and intimacy with God, and that is a work through the Spirit. We are called to ask, seek, and knock for our needs and our requests. But the best thing God can ever give us is himself. I am a fuddy-dud when it comes to taking my kids shopping with their own money. They will come to me and say, I want this. And then I spend 10 minutes arguing with them why they don't really want that. Like, sweetheart, that will break the moment you open it. Can I tell you how stupid that is? That I'm arguing with a 5-year-old about her $3 investment. That's stupid. Why am I doing that? I'm so thankful that we have a God who doesn't do that. That we don't just go with the practical things that we think he'll provide those. That's not what God asks for. He doesn't argue with us about the practicality of our prayer. It's quite the opposite. He is begging for our prayer that's as bold and grand and huge so that he could get the glory. He doesn't sit there and argue over the petty. He's saying, look, the big things are mine, not just the small things. I will provide for you. Yeah, you're going to have food. I'll provide. But don't just stop at food. Don't just stop at the blessing. You ask, and you keep asking. Keep asking. I want to do this for my name and for my glory. And when you keep asking, you keep seeing. You keep seeing my goodness. You keep seeing the glory. And your heart gets strengthened. We thought about how could we help you do this? Because really two things came out of this. Because there's always the so what after somebody preaches. The first thing was this. What do we do when we don't? What do we do when we don't pray? Can I just tell you this? Every time that I've read about prayer in Scripture, there has never been shame over not enough prayer. There's no condemnation in what Jesus is saying. He's not calling people out for their lack of prayer. Can I tell you what he is saying? There's something beautiful that happens when we pray. In church, we don't want to miss out. It's a much better motivation. It's what takes prayer from a duty to delight. Is when we know that by being persistent in our prayer, we get more of God. We get to have the ear of the Creator, and we get to take our requests to Him. That's what draws my heart to pray. Hopefully you know the freedom that comes in that. Not the guilt and the shame. But the other thing is this, is how do we pray for one another? When you walked in, you got a sticker. Go ahead and put that in your hands. Here's what we wanted to do. Not just today, but for the month. That sticker gives you an opportunity to write down what you want to ask God for. What you want to pray for. And in just a little bit, the band's going to come and they're going to start singing. That's not a time for you to actually sing. That's actually a time for you to write down on that sticker what you want God to do. What you're asking. And when we get done with the service, back at the back there's a board that says Inside Out. We want you to take your prayer and go stick it on the board. That's step one. Step two is this. You can do it today. You can do it the rest of this month. But as you go back there and look, there are little orange stickers where you can write your name. Write your name on an orange sticker, and you go through and you pray. And as God puts one on your heart that you're going to pray for and you'll pray for persistently, you stick the orange sticker right next to it to say, hey, I'm praying for you. So that we can pray for one another. As we ask, seek, and knock, we want to be faithful to pray, not just for ourselves, but for others. So when we get done, we want you to take that sticker, we want you to put it up there. Then we want you to spend time praying for others as well. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you that our salvation is from you and you alone. That you have sent your Son to pay the penalty of our sin upon the cross so that we could be forgiven and we can have a relationship with you. We could go from orphans to your children. Would we be overwhelmed by the fact that we get to pray to you? And would we treasure prayer more today than we have before? Thank you for the opportunity we have just to write down what we're asking you for. That's a blessing. But it's just as much a blessing to sit there and look at a board and lift up brothers and sisters in Christ. So, Father, we ask you for amazing things in here. And Lord, when we see amazing things, would we be so quick to give you the credit and give you the glory? We ask this in Jesus' name.